We're on.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always blessed to be a child of God and to be a part of his magnificent kingdom. For great is the Lord, who is greatly to be praised. As always, I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I'm blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the mighty and awesome word of God. And you know what I'm going to say. It is a great word. It is a great word. It is a great word this morning. We are in Old Testament Friday, and we got some word for you today. Mother, good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this wonderful morning?
Good morning. I'm doing good. God is good.
We are lifting up our pastor and her family this morning as they get ready to eulogize their loved one, the mother of our church, along with Mother Valerie, Mother Hallie Roberts. Is being utilized today. And we as a family of Christ are just lifting up this wonderful family, asking God to give them strength. Strength
Amen.
Like no other. And we're praying that it reaches to the heavens, to the highest heights and the deepest depths, that they will have peace. And I believe they do. Because they
Amen.
All believe in the Lord. So, Mother Valerie, pray us in this morning as we get ready to move forward.
Amen. Good morning, people of God. God, we want to thank and praise you for this day, for this is a day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. One of our loved ones have went home, and she's with you. And God, we thank you for waking us up again. You did it again. We just give you all praise and honor and glory. For we know that it's already done, that in their hearts today, as we go to the home going, that you will be there. Because you said when two or three are gathered in your name, you're in the midst. We know that you will be there. We know that she's home with you. Like my sister Jan said, it's a win-win situation. If you stay here,
Amen.
You win. If you don't be with the Lord, you win. So we just thank you for another day that you have done it again. In Jesus' name, bless Pastor Bridget as she continues her day. And Lord, whatever she wears today, you will be pleased and she will be pleased. In
Amen.
Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Bless her. I lift her up in prayer because I don't know why I asked her how she's doing today. I never do ask her that, but she must have been on my heart. And God bless her. Ease her mind. Let her know that whatever's going on, it didn't come to last, that this too shall pass, and that you are with her and the family, her family. In Jesus' name, amen. Work it out. Because you always do. You do it again and again and again. You work
yes,
it
Lord.
Out. I don't know how you do it, but you do it. And it's already done. She don't know it, but it's already done. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm coming
amen,
out of Ephesians 1. Word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against the Amorites, and prophesies against them. Say to the Amorites, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God, because you said, against my sanctuary, when it was profaned, and against the land of Israel when it was desolate, and against the house of Judah when they went into captivity. Indeed, therefore, I will deliver you as a possession to the men of the east. They shall set their encampment among you and make their dwelling among you. They shall eat your food, and they shall drink your milk. And I will make Rabbah a stable for camels and Anamon a resting place for flocks. Then you shall know.
Ha!
Then you shall know that I am the Lord. That's the title for today. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. For thus says the Lord God, because you clap your hands, stamp your feet, rejoice in the heart with your disdain for the land of Israel, indeed, therefore I'll stretch out my hand against you and give you a squander to the nations. I'll cut you off from the people, and I will cause you to perish from the countries. I will destroy you, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because Moab and Sarah says, look, the house of Judah is like all the nations. Therefore, behold, I will clear the territory of Moab, of the cities on its frontier, the glory of the country, Beth, Jesmon, Bethamon, Kerion, to the men of the east. I will give it as a possession, together with the Amorites, that the Amorites may not be remembered among the nations. And I will execute judgment upon Moab, and they shall know, that is their title again, that I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because of what Edom did against the house of Judah by taking vengeance and has greatly offended by avenging itself on them, therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will also stretch out my hand against Edom, cut off man and beast from it, and make it desolate from Timnah. David shall fall by the sword. I will lay my vengeance on Edom by the hand of my people Israel, that they may do in Edom according to my anger and according to my fury, and they shall know my vengeance, says the Lord God. God always said, vengeance is mine. And he don't say it three times, that they shall know, says the Lord God, that I am God. Thus says the Lord God, because the Philistines dwelt vengefully and took vengeance with a spiteful heart to destroy because of the old hatred, therefore, thus says the Lord God, I'll stretch out my hand against the Philistines and I'll cut them off, the Tyrianites, and destroy the regiment of the seacoast. I will execute great vengeance on them with furious rebuke, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon them. Chapter 26. And it came to pass in the 11th year, on the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, because Tyre has said against Jerusalem, she is broken, who was the gateway of the people, now she is turned over to me, I shall be filled, she is laid waste. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against you, O Tyre, and will cause many nations to come up against you, as the sea causes its waves to come up, and they shall destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her, and make her like the top of a rock. It shall be a place for spreading nets in the midst of the sea. For I have spoken, says the Lord God, it shall become a plunder for the nation. Also her daughter, villages which are in the field, shall be slain by the sword. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I will bring against Tyre from the north Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, with horses, with chariots, and with horsemen, with an army, with many people. He will slay with the sword your daughters, village in the fields. He will heap up a siege mound against you, build a wall against you, raise a defense against you. He will direct his battle and rams against your walls, and with his axes he will break down your towers. because of the abundance of his horses. Their dust will cover you. Your walls will shake at the noise of the horsemen, the wagons, and the chariots when he enters your gate, as men enter a city that has been bleak. With the hooves of his horses, he will trample all your streets. He will slay your people by the sword. Your strong pillars will fall to the ground. They will plunder your riches and plunder your merchandise. They will break down your walls, destroy your pleasant houses. They will lay your stones, your timber, and your soil in the midst of the water. I will put an end to the sound of your stones, and the sound of your harps shall be heard no more. I will make you like the top of a rock. You shall be a place for spreading nets, and you shall never be rebuilt. For I, the Lord, have spoken, says the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to Tyree, will the coastal lands not shake at the sound of your fall, when the wounded cry, when slaughter is made in the midst of you? Then all the princes of the sea will come down from their thrones, lay aside their robes, take off their embroidered garments. They will clothe themselves with trembling. They will sit on the ground, tremble every moment, and be astounded at you. They will take up a lamentation for you and say to you, how have you perished, O one inhabited by seafaring men, O renowned city, who was the strong at sea, she and her inhabitants, who caused their terror to be on all her inhabitants. Now the coastland tremble on the day of your fall. Yes, coastland by the sea, you are troubled at your departure. For thus says the Lord God, when I make you a desolate city like cities that are not inhabited, when I bring the deep upon you and bring great waters cover you, then I will bring you down with those who descend into the pit to the people of old, and I will make you dwell in the lowest part of the earth. I'm going to make you dwell in the lowest part of the earth, in places desolate for iniquity, with those who go down to the pit, so that you may never be inhabited, and I shall establish glory in the land of the living. I will make you a terror, and you shall be no more, though you are sought for, you will never be found again, says the Lord God. God is doing this. God himself, he's doing this. Ezekiel 27, word of the Lord came to me saying, now, son of man, take up a lamentation for Tyree and say to Tyree, you who are situated at the entrance of the sea, merchants of the people on many coastlands, thus says Lord God. O Tyree, you have said, I am perfect in beauty. Your borders are in the midst of the sea. Your builders have perfected your beauty. They made all your planks of fir tree from Sina. They took cedar from Lebanon to make you a mast. Of oaks from Bashan, they made your oaks. The company of Asher have inhabited your planks with ivory from the coast of Cyprus. Fine embroidered linen from Egypt was what you spread for yourself. Blue and purple from the coast of Esau was what covered you. Inhabitants of Sidon and Abra were your oarsmen. You wise men, O Tyree, were in you. They became your pilots. Elders of Geba and its wise men were in you to chalk your seams at the ships of the sea. The oarsmen were in you to market your merchandise. Those from Persia, Libya, were your army as men of war. They hung shields and helmets in you. They gave splendor to you. Men of Abra with your army were on your walls all around. And the men of Gamel were in your towers. They hung their shields on your walls all around. They made your beauty perfect. Tarshish was your merchant because of your many luxury goods. They gave you silver, iron, tin, lead for your goods. Tuba and Misha were your traders. They bartered human lives and vessels of bronze for your merchandise. Those from the house of Togarmah traded for your wares and horses and steers and mules. The men of Dedan were your traders. Many owls were the market of your hand. They brought you ivory tufts and ebony as payment. Syria was your merchant because of the abundance of the goods you made. They gave you for your wares purple, fine linen, coral and rubies, Judah and the land of Israel were your traders. They traded for your merchandise, wheat, millet, honey, oil, balm. Damascus was your merchant because of the abundance of goods you made, because of your many luxury items with the wine of Helbah and with white wool, Dan and Java paid for your wares. Back and forth, iron, cane was among your merchandise. Dedan was your merchant in saddle clothes for riding. Arabia and all the tents of Kedah were your regular merchants. They traded with you in lambs, rams, and goats. The merchant of Sheba, Ramah were your merchants. They traded for your wares, the choicest spices, all kinds of precious stone and gold. Even the merchants of Sheba, Assyria, were your merchants. These were your merchants in choice items, in purple clothes, embroidered garments, in chests of multicolor, woven coils, which were in your marketplace. The ship of Taurus was carriers of your merchandise. You were filled with very glorious in the midst of the seas. Your oarsmen brought you into many waters, but the east wind broke you in the midst of the seas. Your richest wares and merchandise, polished your merchandise, and all your men of war who are in you, and the entire company which is in your midst will fall into the midst of the sea on the day of your ruin. The common land will shake at the sound of the cry of your pilots. All who handle the oar, the mariners, all the pilots of the sea will come down from their ships and stand on the shore. They will make their voices heard because of you. They will cry bitterly and cast dust on their heads. They will roll around in ashes. They will shave themselves completely bald because of you. Girt yourself with sackcloth and weep for you with bitterness of heart and bitter wailing. In their wailing for you, they will take up a lamentation and lament for you. What city is like Tyre, destroyed in the midst of the sea? Whoa! What city is like Tyre, destroyed in the midst of the sea? God will let them know that he is the Lord. He is God. He is the Lord. And God will let them know. God will let you know who he is. He's the great I Am. He's Abba Father. He's everything. God is just God, and he is good. He's good all the time, not just sometimes. A lot of times when we go through things, we don't know why we go through things, but God have already started the beginning to the ending, because he's God. He knows your beginning and he knows your ending. God is God, and he will always be God. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor. Okay, 28. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up, and you say, I am a god, I sit in the seat of gods in the midst of the seas, yet you are a man and not a god. Though you set your heart as the heart of a god, behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that can be hidden from you. With your wisdom and your understanding, you gained riches for yourself, gathered gold and silver into your treasures. By your great wisdom in trade, you have increased your riches. Your heart is lifted up because of your riches. He said, because your heart is lifted up and you say, I am a god. You have to be careful thinking yourself as being a god, because you're not. There's only one God. And you can't say in your heart, because your heart's lifted up and you got this, you got riches and you got clothes, that you are a god. You might be very, very rich. But who made you rich but God? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have set your heart as the heart of a god, Therefore I will bring strangers against you, the most terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom, defile your splendor. They shall throw you down into the pit, and you shall die the death of the slain in the midst of the sea. Will you still say before him who slays you, I'm a god? But you shall be a man and not a god. In the hand of him who slays you, you shall die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of aliens. For I have spoken, says the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, Thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and beauty, perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Topaz, sardis, diamond, ox, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, ember with gold. The workmanship of your timbers and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherubim who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, and you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. And I destroyed you, O covering cherubim, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they may gaze at you. You defile your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquities of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you, and I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. All who knew you among the people are stunned at you. You became a horror and shall be no more forever. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward Sidon, prophesy against her, and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I'm against you, O Sidon. I will be glorified in your midst, and they shall know that I am the Lord. That's our title. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I execute judgment in her and am hallowed in her. For I will send pestilence upon her and blood in her streets. The wound shall be judged in her midst by the sword against her on every side. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. And there shall no longer be a prickling there on a painful thorn for the house of Israel from among all who are around them, who despise them. Then they shall know that I am the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God, when I have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered and am hallowed in them in the sight of the Gentiles, then they will dwell in their own land, which I gave to my servant Jacob, and they will dwell safely. They'll build houses and plant vineyards. Yes, they will dwell safe, securely, when I execute judgment on all those around them who despise them. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. That's Ezekiel 28. I read Ezekiel 26, 27, and 28. Then they will know that I am the Lord. I'm going to turn this back over to
the Lord, their God, Mother. Then they shall know that I am the Lord, their God. There's no other God like our God.
Amen.
No other God like him. So many times we want to put people, places, and things on pedestals, but there is no God like our God. Mother, what a word this morning. We will go back and do life lessons and all those things after we get the word done today. But it is such a powerful, powerful word. I I will be coming to you from Ezekiel chapter 29 to chapter 30. It said, in the 10th year, in the 10th month, on the 12th day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and prophesy against him and against all Egypt. Speak and say, thus says the Lord God. Behold, I am against you, O Pharaoh, king of Egypt, O great monster who lies in the midst of his river, who has said, my river is my own. I have made it for myself, but I will put hooks in your jaws and cause the fish of your rivers to sink to your scale, stick to your scale. I will bring you up out of the midst of your rivers, and all the fish in your rivers will stick to your scale. I will leave you in the wilderness and all the fish of your rivers. You shall fall on the open field. You shall not be picked up or gathered. I have given you as food to the beasts of the field and to the birds of the heavens. Then all the inhabitants of Egypt shall know that I am the Lord, because they have been a staff of reed to the house of Israel. When they took hold of you with the hand, you broke and tore all their shoulders. When they leaned on you, you broke and made all their backs quiver. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, surely I will bring a sword upon you and cut off from you man and beast, and the land of Egypt shall become desolate and waste. Then they will know that I am the Lord, because he said, the river is mine, and I have made it. Indeed, therefore, I am against you and against your rivers, and I will make the land of Egypt utterly waste and desolate from Migdol to Sin, and for as far as the border of Ethiopia, neither foot of man shall pass through it, nor foot of beast pass through it, and it shall be uninhabited 40 years. I will make the land of Egypt desolate in the midst of the countries that are desolate, and among the cities that are laid waste. Her city shall be desolate 40 years, and I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations and disperse them throughout the country. Yet thus says the Lord God, at the end of 40 years, I will gather the Egyptians from the people among whom they were scattered. I will bring back the captives of Egypt and cause them to return to the land of Pathros, to the land of their origin, and there they shall be a lowly kingdom. It shall be the lowest of kingdoms. It shall never again exalt itself above the nations. For I will diminish them so that they will not rule over the nations anymore. No longer shall it be the confidence of the house of Israel, but will remind them of their iniquity when they turn to follow them. Then they shall know that I am the Lord God. It came to pass in the 27th year, in the first month, on the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, caused his army to labor strenuously against it. Every head was made bald, and every shoulder rubbed rough. Yet neither he nor his army received wages from there for the labor which they expended on it. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, surely I will give the land of Egypt to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He shall take away her wealth, carry off her spoil, and remove her pillage, and that will be the wages for his army. I have given him the land of Egypt for his labor, because they worked for me, says Lord God. In that day, I will cause the horn of the house of Israel to spring forth, and I will open your mouth to to speak in their midst, then they shall know that I am the Lord. Chapter 30 of Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came to me again, saying, Son of man, prophesy, say, thus says the Lord God. Well, woe to the day, for the day is near. Even the day of the Lord is near. It will be a day of clouds in time of the Gentiles. A sword shall come upon Egypt, and great anguish shall be in Ethiopia. When the slain fall in Egypt, and they take away her wealth, and her foundations are broken down, Ethiopia, Libya, Lydia, all the mingled people, Cub, and the men of the land who are allied shall fall with them by the sword. Those who uphold Egypt shall fall, and the pride of her power shall come down from Midgal to Sin. Those within her shall fall by the sword, says the Lord God. They shall be desolate in the midst of the desolate country, and her city shall be in the midst of the cities that are laid waste. Then they will know that I am the Lord when I have set a fire in Egypt and all her helpers are destroyed. On that day, messengers shall go forth from me in ships to make the careless Ethiopians afraid, and great anguish shall come upon them as on the day of Egypt. For indeed it is coming. Thus says the Lord God, I will make a multitude of Egypt seized by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He and his people with him, the most terrible of the nations, shall be brought to destroy the land. They shall draw their swords against Egypt and fill the land with the slain. I will make the rivers dry and sell the land into the hand of the wicked. I will make the land waste and all that is in it by the hand of aliens. I, the Lord, have spoken. Thus says the Lord God, I will also destroy the idols and cause the images to cease from note. There shall no longer be princes from the land of Egypt. I will put fear in the land of Egypt. I will make Pathros desolate, set fire to Zion, and execute judgment in No. I will pour my fury on Sin, the strength of Egypt. I will cut off the multitude of No and set fire in Egypt. Sin shall have great pain. No shall be split open, and No shall be in distress daily. The young men of Evan and Pi, the seed shall fall by the sword, and these cities shall go into captivity. At Tapanhes, the day shall also be darkened when I break the yokes of Egypt there, and her arrogant strength shall cease in her, as for a cloud shall cover her, and her daughters shall go into captivity. This I will execute judgment on Egypt. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the first month, on the 7th day of the month, that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I have broken the arm of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and see, it has not been bandaged for healing, nor a splint put on to bind it, to make it strong enough to hold a sword. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, surely I am against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and will break his arms, both the strong one and the one that was broken, and I will make the sword fall out of his hand. I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations and disperse them throughout the countries. I will strengthen the arms of the king of Babylon and put my sword in its hand, but I will break Pharaoh's arms, and he will groan before him with the groaning of a mortally wounded man. Thus I will strengthen the arms of the king of Babylon, but the arms of Pharaoh shall fall down. They shall know that I am the Lord when I put my sword into the hand of the king of Babylon,
and he stretches it out against the land of Egypt. I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations and disperse them throughout the country. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. We can pray with God. We can't play with God. And I'm sure Mother has gone over some of the life lessons, but it says whatever you acquire outside of God's will eventually turns to ash.
Amen.
And I just want to give a small section of this. As Dr. Stanley says, some people think that God's refusal to give them some cherished need would be the worst thing that could ever happen to them. They think life would truly disappoint them if some urgent desire of theirs should go unmet. So they pursue their desire either in opposition to God's will or in disregard of it. And then they're truly disappointed. Even if they get what they think they wanted, they remind me of the Israelites in Moses' day who insisted on meat and got it. He gave them their request, but sin leaneth into their soul. They wanted meat. They gave Moses everything. They gave that poor man sin to the point where he didn't make it into the promised land because he was sick and tired of being sick and tired of the children of Israel, and they whining and complaining themselves. Just whining and complaining. Always complaining about something. Oh, we want water. We want, you gonna brought us out here and we don't have any meat. We could go back to you know, I'm just tired of all this manna. Excuse me. You got food from heaven. Can we say it, Mama? They got food from heaven and complaining.
Still complaining.
Moses had his hands complaining and whining. Woe is us. Why does Moses think that he's in charge of anything? What? Aaron and Miriam. Huh. Well, we just as important as him. Why does he think he got to be the one in charge with that foreign wife? Okay. And God showed Miriam something with her mouth. As they say, the power of death and life is in the tongue. God almost gave her leprosy death. Until she got to get a reality check that there's only one God. As he said, I am the Lord God. And we got to say he is the Lord God and he is in charge. And he put Moses in charge. He didn't put Aaron in charge. He put, Miriam in charge.
Complain about his wife.
Come on, that's what I'm saying. That's why they lost by Miss Girl. Wound up a leper complaining about Zipporah. Who was the reason that Moses was there? Because it was her daddy who was a priest.
Amen.
It was her daddy that said, you need to go and do what God tell you to do.
Amen.
And it was her daddy that came and said, you can't do it all. You
Amen.
Can't do it all. You've got to get some leaders within these groups. You've got to give some responsibility over to others. You can't do it all. Her
Amen.
Dad was wise. He was a wise
Amen.
Man of God. You know, we get caught up in the outside and don't look at the inside. You know, Mother, we've been talking everything, but I'm going to tell you this. It has been crazy. My son woke me up this morning because he is also a political like me. We both like politics. And we like knowing stuff. And but he knows that I'm a minister and he knows how I feel about, and a pastor down in Tennessee, he's the same one that called all Democrats demons. And then this time he just said that Israel should blow Palestine up and make it into a, Gaza up and make it into a parking lot. And then he said we need to blow up the Dome of the Rock and usher in Jesus. And
wow.
I thought to myself, keep running your mouth, and you're going to find out who he is, that he will let you know, I am the Lord God.
and he is going to get his behind in trouble with God, preaching mess from the pulpit. Because God don't play. And you can think and you can holler and you can scream and you can whoop, which he does. He's a hollering, screaming pastor. But he's going to find out you are not in charge of anything. God put you there, and God's going to take you out. Keep talking and trying to be God. Folks, is us trying to usher in Jesus. Jesus is coming when God says so. There is only one God, and he has told us all through this word this morning, I am the Lord God. Not pastor this, not pastor that, not prophet this, not prophecy that, not deacon, deaconess, or anybody else, elder, anybody. Only one God, his son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit that God uses to communicate with us, that gives us light, that gives us that fire, that gives us everything we need. God is getting ready to do some stuff, and we better stop trying to force his hand. Because I tell you this, a whole lot of folks, mother, are not going to make it in. All we can do is pray, Lord, let me make it in. Lord, let me have lived my life that when I stand before you, you will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what we want.
Preach
we don't
it.
Want to see folks destroyed, whole nations destroyed. This God gave us Jesus so that we didn't have to do that anymore. Come on.
Amen.
And it bothers my spirit that pastors are in the pulpit preaching death to nations. They're devils. They're this. They're that. Excuse me. Do you read
preach it.
What did God tell Ishmael? What did the angel tell Hagar? Come on now. Their family. They're all Semites. And they are all sons and daughters of God. When Jesus came, he pulled in every one of us to the family of God. We're all part of that olive branch, that olive tree.
Amen.
We've been grafted in, and we need to tell God, thank you. Don't get caught up in the hype. Pray. Pray and pray some more. Your will be done, O Lord. God's will is not always what we want, but it's God's will. And we are trying to take away the will of God by telling God what he should do, what he should allow, what he... There's one God, and he has told us, I am the Lord God. We better shut up and pray and ask God your will on the Palestinians. Your will on Gaza. Your will on Jerusalem and Israel.
Preach it, Pastor.
And until Jesus comes, we need to be quiet. Because all these folks trying to force the hand of God for the return of Christ don't understand. They need to go to Revelation and read it, which we will be doing. And you will find out it is not going to be a picnic. Am I right, Mother?
Amen.
It's
preach
not
it, going to
be a picnic. When Jesus comes back, it is not going to be a picnic. And that's when you have to be like Mother Howard. You are. I don't want to be here. I want to be one of the dead in Christ that rises. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't want my sons or my grandchildren or great, whatever children God gives in my progeny, I don't want them here when tribulation comes.
Amen.
It will not be fun. All these folks don't understand. As you're trying to force the hand of God, you are also bringing in tribulation.
True.
3.5 years for this and 3.5 years for that. And until certain things happen, it's not time. Read the book. That's why God gave us his story. We got to read it, open it up, and study it to show ourselves approved. And so this is one thing that I love with Dr. Stanley says, glimpsing one of God's characteristics in his word and then seeing it come to light through our experiences deepens our humility. As we see God's sovereignty unveiled, we more deeply understand our need for him. Our gratitude, knowing that God's loving kindness motivates, his forgiveness, deliverance, and guidance gives us a thankful heart instead of coming to about our unfulfilled selfish desires. We come to him with adoration and praise. Our hunger, when the Holy Spirit sheds new light on an old verse, our Lord gets stronger. Our appreciation of God's word gives us a more profound delight in studying and applying its truth. Our reverence, learning something new about our Creator, reminds us that we don't know everything about him. As we come to terms with the depth and height of God, our awe of him grows. Our desire to please God, when we have a right, holy, respectful fear of the Lord, our wants change from satisfying ourselves to satisfying our God. Pleasing God is not a chore, rather it becomes a joy done out of humility and thankfulness. Praise God this morning, family. Thank him for his grace. Thank him for his mercy. Thank him for his goodness and his kindness. And it tells us in the word this morning also, the origin, work, and of Satan. Ezekiel 28:12-9 tells us that God created Satan as a beautiful and imminent angel, a being as real as any of us. The devil lusted after God's place and position, so rebelled against the Creator, who subsequently cast him and his co-conspirators to earth. Here he set up a counterfeit kingdom in order that he might reign as the God of this world, that little g. Satan uses division to ensnare believers. We're seeing it today. He works tirelessly to tempt us, hoping that we will fall into sin, thereby damaging our relationship with God and ruining our witness for Christ. He also desires to keep unbelievers away from the saving grace of Jesus Christ, thereby destroying them. Jesus called him a murderer and the father of lies in John 8:44. And as such, he instigates pain, sorrow, and death all over the world. When Satan speaks, he accuses and deceives. He condemns, antagonizes, and confuses us in an attempt to fill us with doubt and despair, like folks preaching evil from the pulpit. But Christians have no cause to fear Satan. This is true for two reasons. First, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Can we have a 1 John 4:4? Not a 1 John, but a 1 John. Come on now. 4:4. We live under the protection of the Holy Spirit. Nothing can happen to us that God does not allow. And we know that wherever he commits, no matter how bad it may seem, 8:28, all things work together for our good. But we got to trust in God. Second, all of us who have read scripture have seen Satan's obituary. Hallelujah. The Bible says he will be thrown into the fire and eternally punished for his rebellion against Almighty God. Revelation 10. The Apostle Peter refers to Satan as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. Yet even though the devil is a lion, he's a lion on a short leash, and he is not the Lion of Judah. Hallelujah. He is eternal destination like ours. He may be able to harass us, tempt us, and prompt us to stumble our
all the victory over him and his work was secured for us when Jesus Christ defeated sin once and for all on the cross. He paid it all for us. Ezekiel 27:36, the merchants among the people will hiss at you and will become a horror and be no more forever. Despite a fabulous location and plenty of fresh water available, God foretold that Tyre would cease to be a city and remain a desolate forever. So he spoke, and so it has been even to this day. Come on now, don't play. Mother Valerie, could you read the life lesson for chapter 28, verse 17? It says, Mother, be back. It says, your heart was lifted up because of the beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. That sounds almost like the devil, don't it? Because that's exactly
Amen.
What he did. What made
yes,
Lucifer
what
into the devil? Come on, pride. Pride. He forgot that any wisdom and beauty and splendor came as a gift from God to reflect God's glory and not his own. We must beware the same daily mistakes. Folks that get, as that we used to call it back there, down where I grew up, folks that get so high on the hog, they forget that they are pigs. Come on now. Ooh, Ezekiel 29:15, I will diminish them so that they will not rule over the nations anymore. Who but God could have declared that Egypt, the ancient ruler of nations, would fall so completely from the heights and never again become a world superpower? No one at the time could have except God. And even in our day, Egypt is not a superpower. It is not a what is it called? Vladimir Putin and his people in Russia. You know, Kim Jong-un and all of the folks in North Korea and some of the folks, they think we in China, come on now, we are not, they are not like them. This is a whole nother group of folks. They don't watch it. We'll fall and fall hard because God don't play with superpowers and the pride of Satan. Folks get so caught up in I'm this and I'm that and I got this army and I got that army and I can do what I want because no, you can't. There's one God. And what did he tell us? He done told us through the word this morning. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. I'm telling you, Mother, my grandson and I have been, you know how we sky watch. And I'm going to tell you, there's been some really weird stuff going on in the sky. Some really weird stuff going on in the sky. The other day, as I told you on the show the other morning, it looked like a meteorite falling. And then it also looked like ships or planes or something that just shot up and then stand still and then want to shoot this and want to go down and want to go up and then three going in the same direction. And it was the strangest things going on in the clouds. And I have been seeing more crosses in the clouds than you can imagine. I mean, cross
Amen.
After cross after cross, and I'll send you some of it so you can see the pictures I've taken of crosses in the sky.
Amen.
And I'm like, okay, God, what are you trying to tell us? That we need to be getting our bags packed, that the Savior's coming. Because God don't play that. He's given us a warning. We need to get right with God. Get right with God. We don't worship the cross. We praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And as you go forth this morning, Sister Carolyn gave us a great word. It says, good morning. The safest place in the world to be is in the will of God. All up
Amen.
In the lesson this morning. It should not matter. All up in it. Have a fantastic Friday. The safest place
safest
in the place. World to be is in the will
of
God. In the will of God. And then in our word this morning, God let us know who he is. You know, as
Black Panther, the second one, the queen tells her daughter, tell them who you are.
My Lord.
Who he is. He let us know, then they shall know that I am the Lord God.
Amen.
Learn that on it. Meditate on it. He is who he is. He will do what he will do. That's
yeah,
all he's
going
to do. And he loves us. God's a holy one God who loves us. And as we get ready to wrap up this morning, Mother, I have a prayer from our 365 days of prayer.
Amen.
And our prayer for today is friends of God. Lord, you know.
Friends of God.
Friends of God.
Amen.
Then they shall know that I am the Lord their God. Friends of God. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother.
Yes.
Proverbs 18:24 NIV. Good shepherd, you lead me through every mountain and valley of this life. It is your voice I follow. As I walk with you as my guide, I will not falter or fail. Though I may stumble, you will catch me. Though traps are laid out, if I get caught, you are the most faithful friend I've ever known. You are with me in the long, dark valley, and you are with me on the mountain. You share with me in every celebration and every devastation. You grieve with me in my sorrow. You are closer to me than my own flesh and blood. Though they love me as they are able, your love is perfect, washing away pain of misunderstanding and unmet expectations from every relationship. Where I have learned to relate to you in faulty ways, tear down and rebuild the connection. I know that you will never fail me, God. Don't let me forget the wonder and security of your love. Do you trust God's friendship to stick with you through thick and thin? And that's
Amen.
My word for today. But he is God, and he wants us to know who he is. Then they shall know that I am the Lord their God. Mother Valerie, anybody, if you got a word this morning, now is the time to push that number one on your phone.
Amen.
Your line will be open.
Mm-hmm.
If that is not this morning, God has given us a great word. He has told us who he is, and we need to believe. His will shall be done.
Be done.
Mother Valerie, with your prayers out this morning.
Father God, your word today was just beautiful. It was beautiful all the time when we can get up and read your word. We thank and praise you for your word. Your word for today was on point. And God, we just love you. We're grateful and we're thankful. And as Pastor goes about her day, encourage her heart. Let her know that you with her, that everything's going to work out all right because it's already done. You already have settled whatever needs to be settled. It's already done. And let her know that. And God, we just thank you again and again. We praise your holy name. And let the service for Mother Holly be what you want it to be. Comfort the hearts that needs to be comforted. And minister angels of God encamp all around about us. Let no hurt, harm, or danger come to us any kind of way. In Jesus' name we pray. And thank you, Lord, for this day. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord,
everybody,
and have a great day. It is. What is it, Mother?
It's a wrap. It's a wrap. It is a wrap. It's a wrap.
Yes, it is. Oh, wait a minute. We got a last-minute caller that wants to listen. And that's probably before we go. Hello, hello. Caller 6962. Hello? 6962, your line is open.
is a wrap. Because we can't hear you, we're having to go. But may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Have a good day, family. 6962. All right. All right.